Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then, 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, we're still waiting for that snow down here. Got a lot of snow in the mountains, but nothing down here. We're looking for it. We're praying for it. Got to have some moisture. Our water well's going to go dry. Biggest drought we've ever had since 1800 and something. Well, I got a special prayer tonight. Would you pray for me? I'm having some real problems, and pray for my health, and pray for my wife also for her health. You say, well, Cecil, can't you work when you're sick? I do all the time, but I'd like to feel a little bit better, but I have to get to go to some specialists again. But you pray for me, and I'd appreciate it. Well, why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee? Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Here's our thought for the day. When the church discover they can't successfully compete with the theater, perhaps they will try religion again. If you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to the 13th chapter of Acts, and let's begin reading with the first verse. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barabbas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manane, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in a synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. We've named this the Mighty Missionary Church. Oh, friends, the dynamic church at Antioch. The second capital of Christianity. Well, the greatest missionary church in the whole New Testament. How should we regard the church at Antioch? Oh, we ought to study in success in missions, ought to implement its practices. Well, first of all, my friends, it was a spiritual church. And I read to you from the 19th verse. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Now, the believers were scattered because of what? They were persecuted. Hey, you think the Christians aren't being persecuted in China and Russia and various parts of the world? Oh, yes, they are. And Africa, they're being killed daily. Well, but you know what? You can kill them, but you can't stomp them. You can't stomp them out. They say that we can't do this, we can't do that. Stop us. stop us. Our government's trying to do all they can. Now, did you see what happened? How disgusted I was the other day when the president signed this thing about don't ask, don't tell. My friends, he shook his fist in God's face and said, look, I don't care what your book says. I'm going to pass this. I'm going to sign it. He's going to stand before God and give an account for that stupid, stupid mistake. You see, friends, I don't hate homosexual or lesbian. I really don't. I sure hate their sin, but I don't hate them as individuals. Why? Because I was a stinking alcoholic one time. God didn't hate me, but he sure hated my sins. Well, Stephen was martyrdom fresh in their minds. Oh, my stars. Here was a man that took a stand that very few Christians ever take. And because of his stand, they stoned him to death. Well, there was something involved in that, too. As you recall, Saul of Tarsus was standing there and watching this go on, how they were going to stone, how they were stoning Stephen. And guess whose coat he was holding? He was holding Stephen's coat. And Stephen said, lay this not to their charge. Oh, my dear friends, Saul of Tarsus could not get that the picture of that Stephen's out of his eyes. Here's a man that laid his life down for Jesus. Friends, we don't even want to have a toenail hurt us because of Jesus. He said, well, didn't you just say to pray for you? Yes, I did, because I'd like to be healthy enough that I can keep going. That's it. That's it. And I know God's going to do that because I have confidence in my Lord and Savior. He reached down in the gutter, and he wouldn't save me, an old stinking drunk, and put my feet on a solid rock and call me into the greatest job I ever had in my life. And I've had some good ones. I've been executive directors of large missions. I've owned a large business. But working for Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. You say, well, you make quite a bit of money, don't you? Ah, boy. No, don't. But you know, I'm not looking for money. I'm looking for the blessings of the Lord in my life. See, evangelism was alive in Antioch 21 verse. And the hand of the Lord was with him, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. They had a walking revival. Every place Paul and those men went, there was soul saved, and churches were established. See, they weren't out there to... Well, there's some preachers today, you know, all they do is they got a job. They don't do nothing. They don't go to work like you and I do. But what they do, they sit around and complain that this flock is not doing their job, when they should be out visiting and should be out training. My goodness, friends, I know that a pastor has a hard job. I was one. Of course, I'm not a pastor, but I was one for several years. And I know that the pressure is terrible, but they draw a salary just like you do if you're working. Many of them don't even go to the church. They have someone answering the phone for them. Well, they didn't have that one over in Antioch. But those people were turning people to the Lord. Now, spiritual in its reputation, the good news reached Jerusalem. Again, listen to this. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and they should go, and that he should go as far as Antioch. Well, Barnabas arrives to teach new converts. You see what's happening in our churches, friends? We're not teaching laymen. Listen, they're the backbone of the church. They're the tithers. They're faithful. They come to church, but they walk away empty-handed because the pastor doesn't have enough gumption to get out and say, hey, folks, Tom Baird, the man that led me to Christ, took me to many, many places and trained me and taught me the joy of winning souls. Every one of us could have that joy. Every blessed Christian could have that joy if you have someone to lead you. And if our pastors aren't leading you, you're going to die on a vine. If you don't stay in the book, you're going to die in a vine. Well, the good news reached Jerusalem. And then Barnabas was there to train new converts. And in 23, Barnabas sees that that God is at work. Who then, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose in heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Well, listen, the leadership was led of the Spirit, verse 24. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. But they had leadership. Friends, you know what I am? I am an under-pastor, under-shepherd. We have a shepherd. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. All we are is, well, I'd say, tell people, I'm working in sales and not management. My job is to go out and tell people about Christ. That's what I do every day. Every day I can, I talk to someone about the Lord, share my personal testimony. I send out tracts. I send out Bibles, books, films, you name it. I send them out. Why? I want people to know that they're going to heaven when they die. Do you know that tonight? I'm serious. Do you know that? If you don't, if you hang around just a few more minutes, we're going to give you an invitation, and that you might put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul comes to join the teaching staff, verse 25, 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Spiritual in the lives of the people. Church gatherings packed with eager learners. Verse 26 again. And then, I got to turn it back here. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Beloved, I want to tell you this. Years and years and years ago, when I first got saved there in Seattle, Washington, this church I belonged to, they had a program. And we worked in the every Sunday night, each one of us in this class would have a part. We would study on whatever we were studying, and then each person would get up and give their part. It taught me to overcome the fear of public speaking. In fact, the matters, after a year of that, God began to lay it on my heart that he had something special for me. Didn't know what it was. I sure didn't know it was to preach, because of what it would have scared me to death. Well, this church was also a serving church. Verse 13, 1 and 2. Chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manane, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Well, the church had a bunch of gifted teachers. You know what? I don't think there's a church, there's a gospel-preaching church, that don't have a bunch of gifted teachers in the church. But many times, hey, I know a lady that should be teaching in Sunday school, but I guess maybe the pastors are jealous of her or something, and she's a great teacher. Oh, my, I've talked to some of her people that goes to her class, and I'm telling you, they're thrilled to death because she's teaching them the unerring word of God. You can't go wrong reading the Bible. the leaders ministered to the Lord. Verse 2 it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. Everything, you heard me say this, I know you get tired of it, but you've heard me say every born-again believer has a call upon their life. Now, I do not know what your call is. I know what my call is, but I do know you have a call. But you've got to develop it. You've got to work at it. You can't sit back and let someone do it for you. You do it yourself. You know what, friends? There might be somebody in that grocery store where you shop, and you are the only one that can reach that person. Boy, that puts a burden on you. You may be the only one. I go to restaurants. I like to go out and eat with my wife once in a while. But I'll tell you one thing. The first thing I'm thinking about is witnessing for the Lord. That's what I want to do. And I get thinking, well, maybe I'm the only guy. And how many times, beloved, I've said to these people I've witnessed to, men or women, has anyone ever told you how to get to heaven? And you would be the surprise that people say, no, no one's ever told me. My stars in the morning, Christian, where are we at? Where is our witness? Where's your testimony? If you know John 3:16 and you've been born again and you have a testimony, you've got enough tools to go to work. Absolutely. Don't. Oh, I know, great theologian. Oh, no, Brother Mo. You got to have more than that. Oh, dingy. Well, they taught the word. They developed new converts. They fasted and they prayed. And their hearts were open to the leading of the Lord. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Hey, when you have a call on your life, if you don't do it, I will guarantee you, you're going to be the most miserable person ever lived. I heard a testimony of a man down in San Francisco. He said he felt a call of God to preach. And he said, Lord, I need to make enough money. I got to build a house. I got to do this. Yakka. He put 14 different things ahead of what God wanted him to do. And when he got everything ready to go on his terms, he said, well, Lord, here I am. Lord said, I don't want you. Don't need you. And I'll tell you, he cried and he said, I'm the most miserable man in the world. I could have been something for the Lord. Now I'm a cast-off, castaway. Well, it was a sending church. Verse 2 and 5. Listen, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. And you know what, friends? Years and years ago, just shortly after I was saved, our church was a tithing church. No, you didn't have the church. You didn't have to tithe to belong to the church. But that's what we taught, and that's what was taught, and we believed it, and we did it. One day, the pastor, our church was only running about 100, and one day our pastor got up in front of the folks and said, I need 7 tithing families to go out here 40 miles and start and establish a church. And 7 families came, excuse me, I better have some juice here. So 7 families came forward and surrendered. They left. A year later, Brother Tom did the same thing. I said, I need 5 or 6 tithing families to go out into this community to establish a church and visit. And the number he called for came forward. This happened 4 times. And did you know, beloved, those places that those men and women went and surrendered their lives to built larger, much larger churches than our home church. See, Tom didn't want to build a fancy church for himself. He wanted people to get out and win souls, and he trained them like he trained me. No, I'm not the smartest man in the world, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can win souls to Christ. Thanks be unto God for my pastor, Reverend Tom Baird. Oh, my stars, I imagine he have a million stars in his crown. And he was skinny. He was sick all of his life. He had both legs cut off because of diabetes. Get in his wheelchair and go to prison. Excuse me. I get so excited when I talk about what I saw God do in that man's life. I hope I've did a tenth of what Brother Tom did in my lifetime. I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, well, Lord, you know, I was too busy making myself famous that I didn't have time to win souls for you. If you're sitting there tonight and you've never led a soul to Christ, or you don't witness, have never witnessed, and you say you're a born-again Christian, you're a liar. Did you know that that's the thing that God called us to do? Look at the first chapter of Acts. And we are to be witnesses, and we're to go in all the world and preach the gospel, it said in Matthew. We've got to do that. But we'd rather sit on our hands and say, well, you know, Cecil, I'm not happy. Our church isn't doing nothing. Well, if you got a pastor that's not doing his job, you have the prerogative to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, send us a spirit-filled, spirit-guided man, one that loves deacons, one that loves the church. I know too many churches that have been destroyed by a preacher. That's right. Destroyed because they didn't do anything and they didn't lead their people. You're not stupid, dear friend. And you say, well, Cecil, I don't have the education. Oh, don't hand me that. Oh, I don't have that. Don't hand me that. That's all excuses. Even Moses, the great Moses, used excuses to keep from going down to Egypt. But it didn't hold water, did it? And what did, oh my stars, at the Red Sea when he held up his hand and that old, parted, went on dry land. Don't tell me God can't use people. He can use you tonight. In fact, the matter, some of you right now are very uncomfortable in your heart. You know God has laid a call on you, and you know you're not doing it. And I hope you're miserable tonight. I hope the Holy Spirit will shake you like a dog shakes a bone. Until you say, Lord, here am I, send me. Oh, the great sending church. They sent them out. They obeyed God's voice for Barnabas and Saul. They fasted and they prayed for them and they laid hands upon them. They sent them away. Sometimes difficult for churches to send. We are better at gathering than sending. We want to keep gifted people with us. Sending us is an act of faith and brings blessing. Friends, I'm going to ask you, I'll tell you one thing. Each church should be developing missionaries this very day. Think about it. Is your church doing that? Does your church ask you to give out tracts? I'll bet you a nickel they're not a tract in your church. Each church should be sending choice servants as missionaries. Let me ask you, are we willing to become missionary church? Now, that calls in your court, my friend. Now, you say, Cecil, you have a persuading argument. Well, no, I'm telling it like it is. Our churches are dead and dying every day because we don't have leaders anymore. We don't have any Christian leaders standing up to many of our government workers. The most corrupt government in the whole world is right here in the world. And everybody, I love America. I love my flag. I spent 4 years in the Navy, World War II. No, I'm no hero, but I sure love my country. And I sure love my God. Do you love Jesus? You say, Cecil, I think I have a little tug in my heart tonight. Well, if you have a tug in your heart, I'm asking you, would you like to trust Jesus? Would you like to know where you're going to go when you die? If you don't know, bow your head to me right now and I'll lead you in the most powerful prayer known unto man. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I'm lost, undone, and without Christ. Father, tonight I want to open my heart and receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You prayed that prayer. You get on the phone. 303-471-8534. Call me. No, I won't use your name on the air. No, I won't embarrass you. No, I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you'll spend eternity. Please call me. 303-471-8534. I'm not such a big shot that I can't talk to people. I'm waiting for your call. Well, folks, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, beloved, for listening. Oh, dear friends, I'm so sincere when I beg people to go out and serve the Lord. Look what He's done for us. Oh, my stars, I've got a roof over my head, and I've got a little car that I can go out and tell men and women about Jesus. And I've got a film and books, and I give them out to people because I want them to have the same joy that my wife and I have experienced these past 55 years. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.